Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Bringing you the latest world news and health research like we do every single day. Thank you guys for your support. Been catching up on emails over the weekend. I hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. Mike's been bothering me lately. There we go. How are you doing? I'm trying to fix this thing. It's so loose. I'm grabbing too much.
You know, normal maintenance on equipment on the podcast should be done before we're live on air.
It was, except not that one. Updates and maintenance are crucial in a studio. I've realized that. And one of the reasons why we continue to bring the truth to you guys every single day on this show, so you guys don't have to mess with all the other little things that we do all the time and the research and the data and getting a hold of everybody. So thank you for that. And also be sure to sign up for the updates, put your name, your email address, and get updates on the Brower Show and on Team Health Masters so you guys can get all the specials right to your inbox in the show every single day. And also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week and other various products that we have on sale right now. I've been adding a bunch of different kits and specials that we put together. You guys have seen now with three-pack specials with the GHI Cleanse, three-pack specials with the Ultimate Multiple Powder, the Ultimate Focus Stack, one of my very one favorites. I was talking to your friend that came over last night, our friend. He stopped by Dad's house.
That would be awesome.
Great guy. And we were talking about different health and stuff, and he's been into bodybuilding for years. I was telling him how much I like the attention factor with the Purple Stick Stack, the Ultimate Focus Stack.
So he took some Purple Sticks home with him.
He took some Purple Sticks home with him. He's like, how many attention factor do you take? I said, oh, usually I take like one or two, sometimes four. He's like, that's 800 mg of L-theacrine, Austin. I'm like, your point being?
Point being is too much.
That's not too much. I just...
Too much for me. I don't sleep on that kind of thing. I did it once.
You got to take it early. You got to take it early. So, but also,
I took it at 3 o'clock one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that work out for me?
It was great if you got Hagman that night.
Well, yeah, but I was looking at the doggone clock all night until like 7 in the morning. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. This stuff's too strong. It's too much. Take it at 7 a.m.
Yeah, 7 a.m. It's great for a morning. I know a lot of people that take it with their purple stick and, you know, attention factor.
I'm not tried that stack.
It's fantastic.
I do well on purple sticks.
Well, this is an interesting story. I saw this right now is that the CDC now has been told by the new HHS essentially to drop the new advertisement that they just put out. The CDC on Wednesday formally ended its wild to mild campaign that promoted the flu vaccines, especially for pregnant women and children.
Insanity.
HHS told the CDC to yank it down. You need to focus on informed consent and essentially what's going on with these shots so you know exactly what you're putting in your body. Again, the CDC has been notorious. I've covered it for years, how they will come out with these real slick psychological manipulation articles and stories and campaigns to try to coerce people into getting more and more shots. While people get sicker, have more side effects, have long-term health problems, they don't care because that's their job is to promote this. Because quite frankly, in my opinion, I personally think the CDC is just a huge, long branch of the pharmaceutical industry. And that's what they're there for. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, he's right.
Infectious diseases that the CDC does research on? Sure, they do. They do a lot of different things on infectious disease, you know, as far as discovery. But at the end of the day, the main thing they constantly do is push vaccines onto people instead of actually doing real, true work and informed consent. That's just my opinion.
Well, my opinion on this is that the CDC and the FDA, that neither one of them should be allowed for at least 10 or 15 years after they leave their position with their respective pharmaceutical company or with the CDC or the FDA to work for each other. I mean,
Form of non-compete and some clause like that, as far as they're not allowed to work for any type of pharmaceutical
years company. And years ago, when 60 Minutes used to actually tell the truth on some topics, they actually had a thing on the revolving door of the FDA and how so many of the people who worked for the FDA would get products and drugs approved, and then they would leave and go to the manufacturer of the drug. We saw the same thing happen with G.D. Searle as far as the attorneys involved, as far as trying to stop it through the FDA. I've written an entire article on it. You guys can read it. It was with a law firm out of Chicago. But, you know, the thing about it is that when you look at what's going on with this, it's pretty bad, Austin. And, you know, allowing pharmaceutical companies to basically put TV commercials on, they have an arthritis drug, right? And so here they have this guy basically who's out of shape or whatever, his wife's out of shape or whatever, or their kids are, you know, are having issues or whatever, and they've got arthritis, and they're running through the field now chasing butterflies
yeah.
with a net. go, wow, that looks great. That's a great arthritis drug. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden it comes up, by the way, side effects include sudden death, cardiac arrest, you know, amnesia, Alzheimer's disease. Oh, but you feel great while you're not knowing who you are anymore. I mean, what the heck does that even mean? And so that's a real problem with this stuff. And you see it over and over and over. Here it is.
Right? There's article after article. I mean, there's numerous studies that people have looked into it. There's one right here. This was just a brief look. I think Stanford looked at this. And they said that the researchers found that they looked at 26 reviewers who left the FDA during the time period that they looked in. It was like around 2010. They found 15 of the 26, 57% later worked for pharmaceutical industries. Put another way, about 27% of the total number of reviewers left their federal oversight post to work for the industry as far as completely and totally.
Well, you know, the thing is, like with the food, like with the military, if you're a colonel rank, you have like a 50-year non-disclosure agreement when
right.
you retire and you get your pension. Yep. Can't talk for 50 years. That's why Colonel Corso waited 50 years to write his book, The Day After Roswell, which everybody needs to read. I first found out about that book because I read the book, The Money Mafia, by Helluride, former defense minister in Canada, and he basically said that every word of that book, The Day After Roswell, was true. So I read both the books, and they talked about who in the world runs the planet, about the Kabbalah, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. And speaking of that, there's an interesting article here. I've got some inside information on this, so I'm going to be real careful how I share it. From Teen Idol to Lost Soul, The Dark Descent of Justin Bieber.
Oh, boy, that's a sad story if anybody knows stuff about that.
Well, you know, there's a real problem with this because he's still going to church. So he's still fighting, but he is completely emaciated now. Look at this picture. Look at that picture of him right there.
Yeah, I saw it the other day. He
looks literally... Well, I don't know if he's on anything, but he looks bad.
Well, the same thing happened to Macaulay Culkin. Now, he's cleaned up now, and he's gotten a lot of stuff better. But there was a good period of time, man. With these young kids get involved in that industry, there's always allegations that a lot of bad stuff happens.
Well, here's the thing. He's still worth about $300 million, supposedly. But they said he's running through his money like water. And what's interesting about this, he sold off his entire library already for a couple hundred million dollars. So he doesn't have the library left of the songs.
So basically the...
Whatever money he has left is what he has.
Okay, wow.
And what's interesting about this is, you know, he's still going to church. And, you know, and I'm going to stop here for a second. And I'm just going to just talk for a second about, you know, allowing yourself to get wrapped up in church leadership and not in Jesus. This is really important, guys. You know, I've seen some crazy stuff with churches in the last, you know, 50 years or whatever. I mean, some stuff that I really don't like. And I have been, you know, actually attacked several times from the pulpit by pastors in which I promptly left their churches. And what I've learned over the years is that, you know, there's a certain group of people out there that really shouldn't be pastors. They really don't care that much about the people in their church or in their congregation. They only care about the position they have, the job they have, the money they're making, or whatever. I'm just letting you know this, because pastors are like doctors. There's good ones and there's bad ones. Pastors are like lawyers. They're good ones and they're bad ones. And some of you are going to laugh. There's no such thing as a good lawyer. It's not true. There are some good lawyers. You know, my old college roommate, John Parvin, one of the best lawyers as far as commercial real estate I've ever seen. So there's a lot of things out there that, you know, are good and bad. Now, Carl Lentz was like his mentor with, you know, Justin Bieber. Carl Lentz basically was with the Hillsong Worship in New York, and Hillsong Worship in New York was doing all kinds of things like putting people from different sexual priorities on the platform and singing. They were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, Carl Lentz then got caught with this Jewish girl who I think was Mossad, because there were a lot of Jewish people in basically New York City that were converting to Christianity because of Hillsong Church in New York, and I believe they wanted to put a stop to it, and they certainly did as far as Carl Lentz is concerned. Now he's got a podcast. Now he's repented for what he's done. I'm not going to go over what he's done. But then you got to look at his mentor, Brian Houston. Brian Houston was the founder of Hillsong, who's now and been promptly basically marched out of Hillsong and was left basically broke because his father was a known pedophile. So all of this stuff is just a really weird conglomeration of people that you don't put your hope in or your trust in. And the thing about it is with the hundreds of millions of dollars that, you know, these people have, and, you know, as far as Justin Bieber, et cetera, you know, I have a pair of reading glasses here, okay? And when I put this up to a box like the Purple Sticks, it magnifies the print. I can see it. That's what the reading glasses are for. They're like a magnifying glass. All money is a magnifying glass. It makes you more of what you already are. If you're inclined to drink, you can become a real drunk with really expensive wine. Ask Johnny Depp. The guy's gone through some cash. If you're inclined to gamble, you can really turn into a big whale out in Vegas and get a bunch of stuff comped to you, and you just burn through cash, especially trust fund babies. They love to do that. And so what it does, it makes you more what you are. If you're a giver, you basically give more. If you love Jesus, you talk about Jesus more. Money only makes you more of what you already are. That's it. It's a magnifying glass. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't make you worse. It makes you more. So when you see things like Justin Bieber and you see things like Brian Houston, you see all of this stuff, you begin to realize that you've got to keep your hearts and minds grounded in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. That's really important. Now I want to read you this. For all that is the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Now, that was also quoted in that movie with Brad Pitt. Do you remember the name of it?
Fury.
Fury, because he's talking about at the end, and they're basically about to die, to be honest with you, in the movie. And he basically sits there and starts quoting scripture to another guy that had been quoting scripture the whole time. And the guy had been quoting scripture the whole time, he's all excited that Brad Pitt actually knew scripture. Now, it's very, very important that we understand that we have to maintain that relationship with Christ all the days of our life. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. You know, it's like calling home when you're in college to your parents. It's not about calling them every time you need money. It's about calling them to maintain a relationship and a rapport with them. That's the same way it is with God. You know, it's back in the old days, they used to have the bat phone. You know, yesterday I went to a car museum in Orlando. You know, they had a Batmobile there. And sure enough, right in the middle of the console was a bat phone. The guy goes, if you want your, they let us have our pictures taken in the car. He goes, if you want to pick up the bat phone and you want to talk on the bat phone and get a photograph, we'll do it. Now I need to show you the picture of me on the bat phone. I've got that actually. But what's funny about that, I'll show it to you tomorrow. But what's funny about it is that's kind of like the hotline to God. We wonder where you're going with this analogy. Well, yeah, if God knows you and you got a problem, you know, you basically, he's going to pick up the phone. He's going to answer your questions and take care of your needs. If all you're doing basically is calling him once every 5 years when you're in a crisis mode, that's not okay. You need to have the bat phone hot all the time where you're constantly communicating with God and praying. Yesterday, I was at the, on Saturday night, I went to church this week on Saturday night. I was able to go to the altar and pray for you guys at the altar in church. That means the world to me when I get to do that. I pray for you guys all the time. That's the kind of relationship we have to have with God over and over and over again, that God knows who we are. So when we call on him, he knows our name, period. Now, he knows our name anyhow, regardless of that. Don't read into this more than I'm putting into this. But you want to have a relationship, not a religion. There's another thing in Romans 8:37-39. And let me read this to you. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes bad church leadership. I remember years ago, Austin was in church, and he held a girl's hand. He's like 14 or 15 years old.
I was like 11, dude.
Well, I was trying to make it easier for the listeners. He was like 11. He was holding somebody's hand. And all of a sudden, some of these guys went berserk away. Oh, I can't believe Austin's holding somebody's hand in church. And I'm like,
it wasn't that big of a deal, and they made it a
they
gigantic
deal.
They made it a gigantic deal. And they made it super awkward for everybody involved, me and her. I'm literally 11 years old. I'm 11. I'm a kid. And they made it this gigantic just to-do about it. The thing was, you really think about this, though. How many times that happened with kids in church where something happens and church leadership basically ostracizes them or makes them feel bad about some specific behavior that may not even be that big of a deal, and it affects them the rest of their life. In some cases, it may cause them to go different directions with certain things.
Like turning gay.
I have personally seen situations like that happen in the church industry, and I call it an industry for a reason. Because the entire thing, in some cases, has been completely based on increasing monetary value of the 501c3 corporations instead of actually bringing people to Christ and bringing people to heaven. It's about how much money can we get. One of the big churches that I went to in college, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I went a couple times, and they'd have 4 and 5 offerings throughout the entire service. We have first offering, 5 minutes into it. We have first fruits offering. Wait, we go, oh, no, we have tithing now. Oh, we have final offering. And I'm like, dude, the 45 minutes of the hour-long church was about everybody trying to give more money. And I'm like, I'm surprised nobody has any money here by the end of the show.
I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to mention this church's name because I don't want to be in the middle of this again because I was in it before.
I know. So was I.
These people, basically, they end up getting divorced.
Yep.
You know, she ended up having a boyfriend. He ended up having a girlfriend. And in fact, it was a disaster is what it was. And so if the church that you're in does not have open books, I'm going to be just blunt.
Yep.
If you don't know where the money's going or if you can't designate your offering to go to a specific cause, honestly, just change churches.
Here's what's happened. I've seen this personally in multiple churches is you'll have these individuals that are in the church and they realize they're sitting on a cash cow by manipulating scripture and getting more people to give more money so they can maintain their lifestyle. They can buy more cars, buy more jets, buy more houses, and they buy it all through the 501c3 corporation so it's tax exempt. And they realize that all they have to do is manipulate people into giving more money and they can maintain and keep up with their lifestyle. Because quite frankly, you know, flying around, you know, a G5 or G6 is pretty cool. I mean, if you're a billionaire and you got a 500, you know, Fortune 500 company, but if you're flying around with that kind of money, be based on people giving you money to church.
Well, a lot of these guys, their corporations, their 501c corporations are worth billions.
Yeah.
And so they just have the church.
My million-dollar question on that is if you've got a 501c3 corporation that's based in a church and you've got millions and millions or billions in cash, why aren't you helping out as far as support the local communities and stuff? If you're sitting on that much cash in accounts, why aren't you doing something productive with it?
It's just a million-dollar question. There was a TV production out of California. I'm not going to mention any names. And they had like 26 or 27 different mansions along with a fleet of jets. And they kept hundreds of millions of dollars.
All in the nonprofit.
Yeah. All under nonprofit. And the guy ended up basically having an affair with his chauffeur, a homosexual affair that he had to pay the chauffeur off for. And the woman on the show was unbelievable lush. And here's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know too much about this stuff. I've been in too many back rooms, all right, as far as in these churches and these nonprofit organizations and these TV shows. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's not about God being a vending machine. He's not a vending machine. It's about having a relationship with the Most High God who created the heavens and the earth. That's what this is about, to prepare you for the next life, the real life for all of eternity. If we're here for 60, 70, 80, 100 years, that's a short period of time when it comes to eternity. We're going to spend the rest of time in creation, eternity, with God. This is to prepare us for that. I cover it in detail in Angel Wars. So I'm going to read this one more time. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's what we have to understand and we have to know all the days of our lives. And again, like it says in John, for all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. Always remember that. We always do the will of God because that's all that matters is to serve God and obey his commands, period. Even Ecclesiastes says that. And we need to understand that. That's the goal that we have here. So don't get caught up in the world stuff, in the monetary stuff and all that. You know, thank you for your support of Health Masters. Yes. Thank you for supporting getting your supplements and your purple sticks and all the rest of that stuff from us. Because a lot of you guys say, well, the only scripture we ever get to hear really is from your show. The only teaching about God or Jesus is from your show. And, you know, we want to be able to support you. Thank you for that. It means the world to me. But guys, listen to me. It's important. You keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. It's really, really important. He'll give you the strength to get through everything. He really, really will. Awesome. What's your next story?
Well, this is a funny story. Speaking of, we're talking about fraud and money transferring. This is just the giant fraud exposure. And I've watched this, and I'm just chuckling about it now. This is interesting. The giant surprise email that basically Elon Musk sent out to everyone and the entire pretty much federal government and their employees and said, you know, we need to get an update. list five things on just a short bullet point of what you got done this week. Basically, what you accomplished.
Actually, he was right doing this.
Yeah, he was right. Because what's interesting about it is he said, and this is what nobody's discussed. Everybody goes, well, Elon Musk is he's getting involved too much. And there may be some arguments to that of what he's being, what he has exposure to, what he's being involved in. But this was funny. So he said, the reason why I sent this five bullet email out was essentially to do a pulse check. He explained the reason behind the last minute detail was immense fraud. He goes, the reason this matters, it's a significant number of people who are supposed to be working for the government, we are finding out now, do little to no work, not even check their emails. In some cases, we have found non-existent people or identities of dead people are being used to collect paychecks from the federal government. In other words, there's outright fraud still going on with the employment ranks of the federal government. He said the reason why this matters is because this is a cause. From what we're seeing now, we're talking about billions of dollars on payroll that's going to individuals that don't even exist.
And the FBI and Tulsi Gabbard now both have come out and said don't respond to this
email. I saw that.
And quite frankly, I disagree with Tulsi. And now, if I would have sent out the tweet, I said, if you respond to Musk's email, which I suggest that you do, make sure you don't put any confidential or proprietary information.
Well, I saw the FBI director said that on it. And now that with the FBI, it needs to be exactly addressed like that. You don't need to be putting confidential stuff out as far as it doesn't need to be released in open email.
Because he classifies stuff.
Correct, in open email. But that's why he did this, because essentially when you have individuals, because now they're coming out now and they're saying that everybody after last month, everybody has to actually start going to work again, the federal government. And now people are starting, I'm not going back to work. I have these things going on. I'm not able to go back into the office. Dude, it's 2025. I'm working remote because of COVID. That's played out now.
He says if you don't show back up, you're going
right,
on
you're leave. Right, you're resign or basically being terminated or put on leave, because we're starting to see just the level of insanity as far as the amount of money that's been wasted. This brought the next story that's really funny. Jim Jordan's argument from the left against spending cuts is pretty darn crazy. He went on to say now what they're trying to do to rebuttal what's going on now with these spending cuts. And they said, it's dangerous to the government and what's going on. He said, I grabbed one of the first headlines, National Parks in Chaos Today, the Washington Post puts out. California National Park, the Trump administration fires the only locksmith on staff. He was fired, and he's the sole employee with keys and institutional knowledge needed to rescue visitors from locked bathrooms. There's actually one of the articles on it. Yosemite National Park's only locksmith just got fired, raising public safety concerns. Is this the best you guys can really come up with a rebuttal on why we're cutting spending to the federal government?
Locksmith,
because apparently he's the only one that knows how to use a lock, pick a lock in the bathroom that people get locked in. My next question is this. Is it really that big of a problem that we've run into in this country where people are getting locked in restrooms in national parks on a very regular basis? Real question. I'm curious.
Are the locks that bad? Why don't we just remove the doors?
Or how about we just stop locking up people in the bathroom if that's what they're saying?
Why do you want to lock yourself in the bathroom anyhow? That's kind of weird.
So I brought this up because this is the arguments that they're trying to put up with now to try to justify what's being done with this massive fraud. And again, here's the thing. If he was terminated because it probably wasn't doing anything, more than likely, I guarantee if you do some research.
And plus, how many locks are in this park? We have an endless things that need to be secured in various forms, and I'm the sole keeper of those keys.
The one that makes the keys. The one that fixes the locks. The one that installs the locks.
I mean, I'll put an office lock on. It'll go for 10 or 15, 20 years. I mean, do you really have that many locks?
Well, here's the other thing. Why is he the sole keeper of all the keys?
I'm the keeper of the keys.
Right. So we have locks that are apparently so important to have this job position, but there's no redundancy. What happens if he doesn't show up to work?
Oh, my God. What if
he's the only one?
He's federal employee, probably gets 38 paid days a year. So what happens to those 38 paid days when he's not there?
What happens when he probably gets 2 or 3 months of paid time off?
Why don't we just hire a locksmith to come in and do what needs to be done?
Have one on retainer, sub him out.
Usually about $100 a call. Just come have to fix it. Well, now I will say though, one time this is awful. We were up I forgot where we were. I think it was in Kentucky somewhere. We were looking at a house up there. I don't know why we were in Kentucky looking at it. It may have been. I think it was in Virginia. And I was thinking about going to law school at Regent University. This is like eons ago. And I got on top of an elevator. little elevator for the house, and I pushed the button. It was a little one. It's like 3 by 3 feet. It was like a one person elevator, and it froze, and the lights went out, and I was in it. Were you with us when
elevators freeze up? Are pretty creepy. Yeah.
And I for just a second I thought, I feel like a casket. This is awful. And I thought, okay, so I start pushing buttons. Finally, it worked, and I got down. And, you know, for years, I mean years, I wouldn't go in another little elevator.
We had that happen in Daytona Beach years ago. We had a big truck show out there, and we were at the Plaza Hotel. I don't recommend it at all. A bunch of us got in the elevator, and it really wasn't overweight, but the hotel's very old. And we were coming down from the top floor, and all of a sudden, it gets stuck mid-floors. Stuck. And all of a sudden, everybody in the elevator for a split second gets real quiet. Everybody's like, all right, how are we going to handle this? And all of a sudden, it starts doing it. And we actually,
jumped
and shifted it and came back down the next floor. We promptly got out and took the stairs the rest of the way down.
Well, no, it's funny, too, because when I got in that little elevator, the lights turned out.
Yeah, that's even worse.
I mean, it was like a creep fest. I thought, oh, this is great. So I'm like pounding on the door. You know, Sharon's wondering where I am. I'm like, this is not
the biggest thing when that happens is you got to take a deep breath and you can't. You can't get claustrophobic. You've got to sit there. I remember I learned that in scuba diving.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
They did the same thing. And I remember one of the craziest times when it got my attention.
Remember you hit your head that
time? That wreck dive. We were in Nassau, and I was about 110, 115 feet down. I was pretty much maxed out. I needed to be on nitrox, but I wasn't. And I was running just straight air. And we're going through this ship, and there's this big cross member, and running flashlights. I run right in this cross beam. I'm bam, right in my forehead. Almost knocked myself out, and I'm looking. I'm just, everything's spotty. The flashlights throw my eyes off even more, and so I'm slowly trying to find the door. And I grab the wrong door, can't get out. And for a split second, I started. Breathing heavy.
Hyperventilating. Yep.
And I look down at my air. I'm already getting really low on air. I've got to be able to surface. And when I sat there, and I closed my eyes. I sat down and leaned up against the wall for about 10 seconds. I just chilled.
I remember you came up and told me.
Oh, yeah. I said, Austin, you're either getting yourself together or you're going to die. One or the other, pick which one you're going to do now. Because I was at that depth, you're not surfacing, not on compressed air. You will blow your lungs out.
Not inside of a doggone ship.
Anyway. Not inside of a ship. So
I remember one time.
Calmed down and got out.
I remember one time I was working on my dock. Also, it was like 2-3 years old. And I had an extension ladder in the water. It was like 12 feet deep.
Yeah.
And I remember I was basically climbing this extension ladder, and it failed on me, and it collapsed, and the entire ladder went underwater, pinning me in it about 8 feet underwater. And I sat there for a second. I mean, with the scuba diving. Yeah. When I took my diving lessons, we had a guy named White. He was my dive instructor with the YMCA. He tied us up underwater.
Yeah.
He actually tied us up with ropes.
And the best of time is close your eyes for a few seconds.
And you had to cut yourself loose. And so I'm under the water. This is a leech-filled lake, too. It's horrible, nasty water. And I'm thinking to myself, this is terrible. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got plenty of air. It's right here. So I reached underneath me and got the ladder to come apart, got my leg out and surfaced. So I'm sitting there holding onto the dock, breathing. Austin comes up and goes, Dad, you need to be more careful.
I was a kid, though.
He's 2-3 years old.
Yeah, I was a kid.
And I looked at my dad and said, ah, get your mom right now. Oh, man, I was all skinned up, and I had to go pour oxide myself because of that nasty lake water. It was bad.
Yeah, scrubbed down after that stuff. But my moral of the story with all this stuff.
Don't panic when you're swimming.
Or if you get locked in a bathroom in a national park, don't panic either.
Well, no, that's what Glocks are for. I mean, carry a gun in a national park now.
Oh, yeah, I always have.
And you could just, if you get locked in and you got to get out, you could just say, well, I had to do an emergency extraction.
Yeah.
Just don't get a ricochet.
No, make sure you wear some eye protection as well. Sure. Also, too, interesting. I covered this last week. I'm going to cover it some more later on this week. I'm doing some more research on the COVID vaccine and underactive thyroidism. I'm finding more stuff out with this as well. And that's a side note on here. This one right here, where would I pull up? This is crazy here. Stunning admission. Now, Biden administration knew that natural immunity prevented COVID, retransmission of COVID, but didn't want to deal with logistics. Dr. Paul Offit, who I can't stand this guy. He is an extremely good psychological manipulator, though. The way he answers questions, if you watch him, he's great at manipulation, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, probably a horrible thing.
I personally think he needs to be slapped.
Yeah, he does. He's just got a face and never mind. So he revealed the data showed that natural immunity protected against severe COVID-19, but at the heart of the vaccine mandate, the White House did not want to deal with the hassle a verified natural infection. That's a lie. It had nothing to do with the hassle of the natural infection. That's the way he's spinning it now. They did it because they had to push the COVID vaccine because they had hundreds of billions of dollars invested in big pharma to make sure it was pushed so it caused more health problems. It had nothing to do with the hassle of it. The government instead mandated the COVID-19 vaccine. So listen to this for a second, though. This is the argument. We know that getting COVID-19 can basically provide immunity, natural protection, pretty much for a long time for it. We know that it's best to keep your immune system strong with vitamin C and D3, but we're not going to promote that. We're going to promote the COVID-19 RNA gene therapy shot that's completely experimental, that's going to have long-term side effects because, well, it's easier to just mandate the shot. If that's even the logic that they're trying to throw this excuse on, how inept is the federal government? I mean, really think about that for a second. I mean, it's quite sad. And so, again, this is another reason why the Kennedy's HHS now is preparing to shake up the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Committee. He said they're preparing to remove members of the committee that advise the CDC on vaccine policies. The committee was supposed to meet next week, but the meeting's been postponed.
Well, yeah,
this is huge, though.
But you know, this was the only way to fix this mess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Doge, I know he's not basically a scalpel. He's basically a axe,
yeah,
you know, but
chainsaw.
But it's a chainsaw. I remember years ago, I mean, we had a beam that we had to take out on the back porch that had gotten partially, you know, rotted.
Yeah.
And it was laminated, like 2x6s, 2x12 together, all glued. So the guy's up there with a hammer.
Yeah.
He's trying to pull it apart. And then he gets a pry bar. And I mean, he can't get it off. Finally, I've come up with a chainsaw. And I said, forget this. This thing needs a chainsaw. And so we chainsawed it down. It was down in a matter of a couple of minutes instead of spending 20 hours trying to get the beam down. Sometimes things just need a chainsaw. And the federal government needs a chainsaw because we're spending trillions of dollars a year on who knows what. And a lot of it's under black ops, Austin, under the military.
Yeah. We haven't even dug into it. Well, that's why they wanted to get into the Pentagon budget. They want to see what's going on.
Well, no, this whole thing yesterday, we got they lose with chemtrails again yesterday.
I saw that.
Oh, God. I'm saying, people say, we're not getting any more chemtrails. Well, you don't worry. We're getting them down here.
The difficult, hard concept to understand from a financial standpoint, even though you start saying, like, we cut $50 billion out, $100 billion out, $150 and $200 billion.
Trillions, man.
Dude, when you're talking about a budget that's so far out of whack, $4-6 trillion, a couple hundred billion, as weird as this is to say, isn't that much money in comparison on a percentage scale on a sheet.
Well, and that's the same thing. If the COVID stimulus checks, the trillions of dollars that were sent out to the American population,
that's exactly right,
and not the banks and the pharmaceutical companies.
That's exactly.
Oh,
right.
My gosh.
You talk about stimulating the economy. Granted, we'd still be dealing with the hyperinflation that we're dealing with now. But it actually would have encouraged people because a lot of people would have paid stuff off.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want to cover this one last section on it here. They said essentially this next week's meeting that essentially Kennedy has been confirmed by, they're saying now that they're going in not only planning on probably removing people from the committee, from the CDC committee, they're going in now to actually start looking at the vaccines that have been approved. They said the committee meets three times a year, typically in February, June, and October, to decide which vaccines should be recommended to the public, who should take them, and how often. Recommendations of the CDC typically are rubber stamped.
Currently, the CDC recommends that by the age 18, a child should receive 76 doses of 18 different vaccines, including the COVID-19 vaccine, even though the state of Florida has recommended that no children get the COVID-19.
Once a vaccine is included on the childhood shot schedule, the drug maker is protected from all liability for any injuries associated with the shot, the combination of school vaccines.
That needs to stop.
And no liability guarantees are a steady revenue stream for vaccine manufacturers. And if you look at the numbers on a breakdown, you'll find the majority of these pharmaceutical companies, one of their biggest incomes is vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Now. Well, because they're money in the bank.
Yeah. Well, it's consistent. It's like a subscription.
You know, remember my little bean counter thing last week? You know, it's like eggs now. We can make 2 cents more an egg. Ah, yeah. We hadn't slowed down yet. So it seems to be an inelastic demand curve. I mean, you know, price doesn't matter. Oh, we make a dollar more an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now we're talking serious money. You think, well, it's a dollar an egg. It's not that big of a deal. It does make a difference when there's billions of eggs being produced.
Yeah, when it's a staple item for breakfast.
Oh, my gosh. And you got 300 million people. You know, by the way, Yale scientists who risk careers to publish the bombshell COVID vaccine study issue message to the shot's victims. Wow. For years, thousands of Americans who suffered debilitating side effects after getting the COVID vaccine were told there was no evidence the shot was linked. Liars and thieves. not the people who got the shots, the manufacturers. Some were brand anti-vaxxers. Others told that the symptoms were imagined like related to conditions like long COVID. But that changed this week. On Wednesday, a team from Yale University, known for their rigorous work, revealed that mRNA shots can cause a previously known condition as post-vaccine syndrome. The syndrome appears to cause brain fog, dizziness, tinnitus, extreme fatigue, and biological changes to the patient's immune system. Why would they not? Since it's an mRNA vaccine to change your DNA. Dr. Awiko Akasi, a lead researcher beyond, and I really butchered that name, by the way, but behind the name, don't send me letters, told the Daily Mail that she understands her findings could be controversial, but she wants the patients to know her team will keep studying to bring them better transparency. Wow. So here are all these people suffering from all these conditions being told that's a psychological problem that they have.
Yep.
And the sad part about it is it wasn't psychological. I knew this one lady, and she basically ended up with really bad tinnitus and all kinds of issues, ended up being hospitalized. It spent over $100,000 when she was having projectile vomiting, the whole bit. And the sad part about it was she had gotten multiple vaccines. And the sad part about it is that she was told that it was all in her head. Yeah.
That's even worse when gaslight someone's having.
Well, no, you're vomiting in the hospital. There's something wrong with you. It's just a mental thing. I mean, she's like, I don't know. You know, it's like that one Family Guy thing where they all took Ipecac and they're all throwing up, you know. That was a little bit of humor, by the way, that takes us back from the
I would play that scene, but I think it's a bit much for a lot of the viewers. I'm not promoting Family Guy because it's got real gay in a lot of the stuff they have now. But some of this
20 years ago.
Some of the early stuff that has some of the scenes they
They took Ipecac to see who could wait the longest to vomit.
They bet money on it.
And I think whoever made it the longest got the last piece of apple pie or something stupid. But if you like that kind of little bit of coarse humor, it was pretty doggone funny. I got to admit that. We may have to play that tomorrow.
I don't know. A lot of people probably bring it and not like it. I don't care. We're equal offenders. I guess we can offend everybody that doesn't like it.
But you know, you got to remember, we're a couple alpha males here with a podcast and, you know, got a transmitter and Polk County boys. Well-educated, I may add. But the reality is that we're pretty much not going to play any games with anybody. We're going to tell you how we feel about everything, including whether you like it or not. Like right now in Germany, the right wing has really taken over in there because they're sick and tired of the people coming in and basically running their country into the ground. The problem is now they're saying that the man who won, that he may put a bunch of left-wing people into his cabinets and other positions, and that it may not make any difference. In other words, it's one of those deals. And he's saying he no longer wants to be a vassal state of the United States of America, and that the United States, including Trump, doesn't care about Germany or Europe. Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe that, but they look at America first. I mean, you know, we really need to take care of the United States and get all this foreign aid stopped. I mean, we really do. I mean, we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid. What for?
Well, no, and that's what got me so irritated last week. I got fired up on the show when we have this federal judge now that comes in.
It's like your neck vein came
out. Well, no, it was irritating. He comes in, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm removing the stop on the foreign aid because Trump came in and signed an executive order. He didn't block federal aid. He suspended it for 90 days to investigate where all this money's going. And sure enough, within the first couple of weeks, we find out where all this money's going. It's going nowhere. Going to private contractors across the entire world to, you know, promote, you know, transgender operas in whatever country they're picking. And so suddenly now, oh, well, no, you can't do that. We have to continue to do it. This is also a great news, by the way. Fantastic news for all my Second Amendment guys. Representative Burleson is now seeking to repeal the National Firearms Act from 1934. This is huge. Eric Burleson, Missouri.
This is a big deal.
He's basically putting in the bill, abolish the ATF, H.R. 221, repeal the NFA. This is a big one here. So essentially the NFA was put in place in 1934. If you guys know this, it was completely unconstitutional. Congress approved it based on a knee-jerk reaction from the gangster violence that was going on during Prohibition. And what essentially did was it put a $200 tax stamp on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns and machine guns, and a few other various items like any other weapons, AOWs. It essentially made it almost impossible for the average person. Because you got to remember, what the reason why it's a $200 tax stamp is that was the average price of a Thompson submachine gun back then. It was around $200. It was expensive. So suddenly now, instead of $200 for a Thompson gun at Sears, now it's $400 for a Thompson submachine gun.
At Sears, you can order them through the catalog.
Yeah. That was a time to be alive in America. I need two Thompson submachine guns, 450-round drums, about 5,000 rounds of ammunition. The Highwaymen, have you seen that? That's a great film where he depicts that. He's law enforcement. He goes in there and he goes, yeah, I need that BAR over there. I need, you know, about 1,000 rounds of .30-06. I'm like, oh, boy. this is going to get fun.
Yesterday I was at this museum.
Yeah.
And they had the law enforcement vehicle that actually the vehicle that stopped Bonnie and Clyde to give them help.
Yeah.
And it was covered with bullet holes. And I'm talking big caliber stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The minimum was 45, and it was probably from a Thompson machine gun. I mean, there were holes all over this car. It was the actual car the FBI had used. And, of course, the actual car that Bonnie and Clyde were in, I think, is in a museum in Vegas
Mountain
now.
Vegas.
And I think it still has the shell casings in it.
Did they?
Because Bonnie and Clyde were shooting back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that and they made sure they kept shooting in the car until all evidence of return fire stopped.
Well, what's crazy back then is, I mean, you know, you had 100 years ago, and, I mean, the BAR with the, you know, automatic rifle, Browning automatic rifle with 30-06 like that, that was an insane weapon. And I mean, I get it. I get a little aspect with the NFA where they kind of came in and they were like, you know, anybody could just walk in the store and buy a BAR, and we probably need to try to regulate these a little bit better. But again, the problem with that was now that you have with the background checks and everything else, it's so expansive, the NFA really isn't a necessary aspect, and so it needs to be repealed. And on top of that, now FBI Director Kash Patel is being tapped to run the ATF as well.
I am so happy about this. ATF needs to go away.
Well, no, it needs to be dissolved. I mean, it's a post-prohibition agency that has no useful purpose anymore, and it's basically been used. And this is where they get into this article. That's why I want to cover this. He's talking about how the ATF goes around Congress to introduce regulatory gun control, and essentially by saying what we say we deem it so because of the Chevron doctrine. I covered this before, because they come in and say, well, this is our specialty. We're experts in this field. We now deem that this item, this plastic stock, is now a machine gun. And they just do it unilaterally.
Look at this. The ATF went around Congress and introduced numerous regulatory gun controls during Biden's presidency. These controls included the so-called ghost gun regulations. And engaged in the business rule, which was intended to expand background checks and a ban on stabilizer braces for AR pistols. They don't have the right to do that.
No, they don't. And that's the problem, that they've given so much autonomy now that they've...
Chevron doctrine.
So,
and you know, we're one of the only podcasts that actually talked about the Chevron doctrine. I want to make a note of, because most people don't even know what that is.
I do know that, because I've had a lot of people that when we did that show, a lot of people emailed me on it, said they never heard of it. And I didn't know. I've heard the term before, but I never really understood what it was and how the lawsuit set that precedent to allow agencies to come in now and use their expertise, is what they call it,
to write
new laws, essentially, and replace, and also go in and regulate certain things that Congress does not have any say in. And that's the problem when you start allowing these things to happen with agencies that are bent on violating the Second Amendment.
That's correct. Oh, by the way, Doge to expose real gold price. I don't believe this one when I see
it.
And this week's Live from the Vault article, podcast, discuss how Doge could help expose the true state of the Treasury gold reserves. Now, remember, they're running a whole bunch of bullion back to the United States right now.
I've heard about that, too. I've heard multiple sources I've heard as far as there's a lot of gold that's being transferred back to the U.S.
I wonder if it's going back to Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Because it was transferred out of there a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
And especially if they go in there and start doing it full-blown, how should I say, you know, check on it. By the way, Steve Bannon is warning Republicans. We mentioned this a few weeks ago that the oligarchs will abandon them, and they're with us right now, but only temporarily. Steve Bannon struck a word of caution for Republicans who have fully embraced the oligarchs.
Yep.
The former White House advisor to Donald Trump has spoken derisively of certain Silicon Valley billionaires, such as Mark Zuckerberg, and, you know, all these other people. Zuckerberg, who banned Trump from Facebook after the 2021 Capitol riot, reinstated the president's account on the platform in 2023 and appeared at his inauguration last month. Meanwhile, Musk spent at least $277 million to return Trump to the White House. For his reward, Trump was named the head of the Department of Government Efficiency, which he's used to gut various agencies, which I'm actually happy that he has done that. So you can start, it says, goes on to say, you can tell President Trump does not trust totally the oligarchs. We're being put in a very tough antitrust people into the Justice Department and alphabet agencies. So, you know, we're talking about what's going on with all this stuff with Bannon. So just, again, we'll take the wins and we can get them here. And I'm really happy about all the wins that we are getting. I really am. And I'm really excited that, you know, we're getting some changes at the federal government, especially getting rid of these horrible do-nothing employees.
Yeah.
They're horrible. But the reality is, always continue to ask the questions. Who's behind the curtain?
On both sides.
On both sides.
We talk about it all the time. You got to, and I brought this up to Des. I was with my buddy for his birthday over the weekend, and we were talking about this going back and forth. And I said, well, you got to flip both sides of this. I said, how would everybody be responding, or how would we like it if we have a flip Uno reverse on this, where say you have somebody like Jack Dorsey, who used to be the CEO of Twitter, who's hard left-wing, hard, in my opinion, communist. If he came in under a new Biden administration or Kamala's, pick a name, and he came in with them and suddenly came in and started gutting those agencies.
Doge, he took all the conservatives out.
And went with that way. Now, granted, I'm 100% on board with cutting waste and fraud. But again, when you start having this on both sides, I see both sides of the argument on it. However, this fraud and waste had to be exposed. But again, just be prepared. If they're doing this on one side, they may flip it on the other side, because they always like to go back with the yin and the yang as far as controlling both sides of the narrative with this.
I remember I used to go through the state offices when I was working for Quality Coffee Service in Tallahassee. And I remember I would see literally dozens, if not hundreds of people in these giant facilities just doing fingernails.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there. They were bored out of their minds. And a lot of people get like that when they get a job. They do only what they have to do, and they sit and they play on their phones or play on their computers, and they don't try.
Well, federal jobs are the worst.
But I'm talking about private sector now, too.
Oh, yeah.
They'll sit there, and they'll try to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get exactly done what they need to get done based on their job description, and then they'll sit and go idle.
Yeah.
And if you put cameras in the doggone, you know, rooms, they get all mad because, oh, my God, I'm under surveillance now. Well, you just want to see what you're doing all day. Well,
so is everybody in the entire building. It's not, you know, big of a deal.
No, it's not. A lot of people use cameras. In fact, almost everybody uses cameras now to make sure that things just don't get
the issue that's gotten out of control is the way they handle these budgets and basically these expansive aspects of pushing more cash in these agencies. Because I had a good friend of mine who used to be in the Air Force, and he told me firsthand, because he was in maintenance and security as far as with the aspects of the plane. So he was always in the hangars. And he said they would come in once a year when they'd be doing audits on all the stuff, and he'd have these higher-ups come in and say, dude, all these crescent wrenches, all these socket kits, all these tools that are here, get them out. He goes, what do you mean? Well, they're coming in to do an audit on all the equipment, all the tools. Just get rid of them. Throw them in the dumpster. And he said, you know, we're paying $250 for a hammer, regular hammer, exact same one they sell at Lowe's for $25. We pay $300 for it in the Pentagon budget. And he goes, they say, all these 100 hammers right here. Get rid of all of them. What do you do with them? Throw them in the dumpster. We don't care. We don't want them in inventory. So they go and they literally take out the entire tool sets and throw them in the dumpster. You know where I'm going with that? So that way when they audited all the stuff, oh, no, we're out of equipment. We're out of tools. We have nothing anymore. We need more money. And that is prevalent in a lot of these federal agencies.
Here's another scam exposed. This is an interesting. This is a bird farmer. He basically raises chickens. And he says, American chicken farmer says birds are not dying from bird flu, like we're being told.
No, I assume that, yeah.
Just like with COVID, they're counting all the deaths of bird flu. So if you got a 20-year-old chicken, which they don't really live that long, that happens to drop dead in a cage, oh, my gosh, it's bird flu. Kill the whole flock.
Well, they're doing it. They're PCR testing it. Mm-hmm. They're running a PCR swab. They're going, it's got H5N1.
And PCR has already been shown it doesn't work. And it says every time a bird dies, they say bird flu. They're counting all deaths as bird flu. I'm telling you, they're lying to you. And it's the same thing they did with COVID. Guy dies on a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I mean, that happened right up down the road in Florida, next county over.
Yeah, got dismembered.
Bad,
a motorcycle
accident.
Then it put his cause of death COVID because the hospital picked up another $100,000.
What they did was they post-mortem swabbed him.
Yep.
They swabbed him in the morgue. They said, oh, it's got COVID on it. He died from COVID.
I mean, they were swabbing bananas and Coca-Cola getting COVID. I mean, the PCR test is completely and totally unreliable. And what the crazy part is, they're still using this stupid thing.
Because we're allowing them to. Because we're going along with it.
But we've already come out and said it doesn't work. I mean, the scientists have said don't use it. It doesn't work. The government even said it doesn't work. It doesn't matter.
He's
saying that anytime a chicken dies, it's bird flu, so they have to kill the whole flock.
Yeah. That's why they're doing it. So that way they're coming with the excuse saying, we had another case of bird flu. We got to wipe out another 50,000 chickens. You go, dude, all the chickens are really healthy. Everything's really good. We're giving them oregano oil. They're doing good. We're not having any problems. No, you understand. This one chicken died. We PCR tested him. He had H5N1. All the birds got to die now. And we wonder why we're having a shortage on all these aspects and the price is going up. It's a controlled death is what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose, right in front of
everybody. Well, but again, it says the American farmers says the birds are not dying from bird flu, like we're being told. Just like with COVID, they're counting all deaths as bird flu. Every time a bird dies, they say bird flu. So they've got to come in now and kill the entire flock.
Well, you got to think about it. The playbook, and I've repeatedly told everybody this, the playbook from COVID was so effective, and the strategy worked so good. You don't think they're going to use it again? It's like if you got a really good play in a football game, you got to play it every time you run the play. It works great. You pick up another 10, 20, 30 yards every time you play it. If it works, you're not going to drop the play.
Until the defense figures it out and stops it. And we're the defense.
We're the defense. And we keep trying to put it out there to stop it and tell it. But the problem is when you're dealing with this much money, it ties back into the level of fraud. When you're dealing with this much money in government sectors, you can pretty much push anything you want. You really can.
And people are going to believe it.
People are going to believe it if they keep buying it.
I mean, it's really kind of sad.
Yeah. Also, too, some other news over in Europe now. This is crazy. Americans, be warned. You could be arrested as soon as you step foot in a major Western country for your social media post back home.
I think this is hyperbole, but I'm not sure.
I've read part of this, though. They're talking about not necessarily yet, but they're saying now what's going on in UK, how they're going door-to-door to people. And this is happening. They're going to people's houses and saying, you posted something that is deemed hate speech now. You're being arrested. You're being charged in UK. And they're talking about now, if you say this, even from another country, they're trying to say you could say this at home and you go over there. I think that's an exaggeration. However, they are saying if you're in the UK or you're in these European countries, have these strict rules, and you're over there and you start posting stuff online, you can't be arrested and detained.
You know what's funny, though, and I will say this. I mentioned this to you last year, and I'll say it again. I went to Germany last April. And I got to drive around for a couple of weeks over there, got to be on the Autobahn, had a blast. And when I left Munich, we had to go like through three security checks to get on the airplane. It was like a doggone, you know, like a police state. And the last one I got to, there was a tranny. He's a dude, dressed like a woman.
As security.
He's the one running my luggage. Running my name, running my passport.
Almost like they put him in that position.
Oh, yeah.
On purpose.
For that reason. I mean, he's got fingernail polish on. He's got long fingernails. I mean, it's actually quite nauseating. And, man, he is eyeballing me. He keeps going back to his computer with my passport, back and forth.
Did he really? You never told me that.
Mm-hmm. He did. And I think to myself, crap, I'm about not to get on this plane.
How many times did you run it, you remember?
About three or four.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was detained. And then some other guy was there. They detained him, too. He's an old guy. He's like 70 years old. He says, why are you picking on me? I'm an old guy. I don't have anything on me. You've already searched me three times. I thought to myself, I think I'll just keep my vocal ability down a little bit, you know, on this one, because I don't know what this guy's doing. But he was just, I mean, this tranny boy was looking for something, and I don't know what it was.
Well, it's interesting because it ties back into that article that I just covered, though, because it says this now in the UK and in Germany where they're going through now. Because remember, they had this AI system where it goes and it literally dragnets the entire internet with social media. So they go in and it analyzes this stuff. It compartmentalizes it. It builds an algorithm on it, and then it builds a file on you. I've explained this in detail on how it works. I've had these guys tell me how this works. So what they do is, as soon as they run your name, they can look up every search history. They can look up every keystroke. They can look up every podcast. They can look everything you said. Heck, they're to the point now where it's so invasive, they can go in and pull your entire text messages without a warrant. They don't. Is it legal? No. Do they do it? Yes, they do. This is how advanced AI is, and when it has the ability, remember, this is why. When they tie in AI to these new iPhones and all these new phones now, the AI talks to itself and they can build grids with AI. The AI connects with other AI devices, hence why they're called smart devices. They all talk to one another and they transmit and share information. Why do you think they're building all these things with smart devices?
Well, and what they do, that makes an entire web. So in other words, all the people are going down the highway and they got their smartphones on. All the cell towers are picking up all the smartphones, and they build this giant web that you go into with your smartphone. Now you're part of the worldwide web.
And then what they do is all those phones connect all the phone numbers and the cells and the text messages and the contacts and basically the proximity with the Bluetooth. So now they know every person you talk to, everything you say to them, that person who they're connected to, and it builds stages out, and they can tie everybody and everybody. It's really creepy what they're doing.
This
right
is
now.
How a lot of the navigation systems that tell you where the police are works.
Correct.
Because they're all tied together in the same grid.
Yep.
And they let you know that.
People mark them, and all of a sudden
this
it ties right
this
back
person
in.
Has marked this above here, this, and this. And you see it because it's all tied together in the same grid of everybody who's logged on to that particular website or that particular data stream. By the way, store closures are outpacing openings. It's been a historic shift to service-based tenants. As closures accelerate, service-based tenants are expected to lease more retail space in the coming year than goods-based tenants, a brand that JLL called a historic shift to the retail property sector. I was at the Millennium Mall this weekend. And we went had lunch at a restaurant over there, and I couldn't believe how many of the stores that have come off of lease now. Some of these leases are 10, 15, 20, 25 years. That store's been, that Millennium Mall over in Orlando has been there for a long time, hence the Millennium Mall, you know, the year 2000. And so these people are getting out of their leases now, and they're moving their doggone facilities, so they are no longer going to be in that store, in that mall. And probably a lot of us due to high rents.
It's higher. I was just about to say, as I've talked to a few people in commercial real estate, and that's one of the biggest issues is these companies, these storefronts, their sales are down because, quite frankly, Amazon's starting to take all the air out of the room.
Yeah, they are.
Because people are just buying it from stuff from Amazon.
We tell you, don't buy Amazon.
Please don't do that. If you want anything, buy it from us directly. Please continue. Even if you buy something from another company, try to buy it from them directly. Cut Amazon out because they hit everybody with a 15% seller fee, period, all the time, plus, plus, plus. And so what's happened is now, too, these companies that have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month lease, these high-end stores, are going, this is too expensive. We can move to another place that's going to be $5,000 or $10,000 a month lease and basically still be able to sell product and have a storefront but not have to deal with it. So, again, this is something that's going on in the markets and why it's so important. Right now, we have more than ever the ability to vote with your dollar on who you want to support, what you want to buy from, and what companies you actually want to take care of. Because at the end of the day, I've warned everybody about this for a decade, and I think people are finally starting to see it, that Amazon has turned into a global retail monopoly of online sales, and they're doing everything they can to put the small companies and even other companies out of business.
And look what Amazon does. They charge you 15% of the gross sale.
Plus, plus, plus.
Plus, plus, plus.
All kinds of other stuff now.
And what happens in these big stores a lot of times, in these expensive malls, they may charge 10, 15, 20% of the gross revenue for the store plus rent.
Yeah.
In other words, you don't just pay your $10,000 a month in rent for the store.
Right.
You got to pay a percentage of your total sales because you have the opportunity to be in this mall
big
with
mall.
Them. And that's why so many of these malls are going out of business. In fact, when I went to that car show, that car museum yesterday,
yep.
It was a giant mall that had gone out of business.
Yep. I remember they had a Fuddruckers there back in the day. They had the big Bass Pro, all these stuff. I remember going to this that mall way back in the day, and it was a cool mall. But now it's changed over. They got a big car museum, a lot of fun stuff to do there. Go karts, the kids love it.
And to give the guy repurposed a pretty good job.
He did a good job with it because, quite frankly, it was a failed mall with really big real estate. It's got a huge footprint,
huge facility.
But at the end of the day, they did something different with it. And this one last story I want to go on. So I was talking to Dad and Ace about it last night. We're talking about eggs. How much eggs we eat, good fat, healthy fat, salmon, olive oil, avocado oil, vitamin E, omega-3s. This is another study that came out that said insufficient fats in diet can lead to decreased sex hormones and affect the development of reproductive organs. This is why it's so important to make sure your young kids are getting healthy fat. It said fat intake is a long time they tie it in with obesity, and the fact of the matter is it's not accurate. Healthy fat intake is actually extremely important to protect internal organs, maintain body temperature, metabolic activities, digestion, and also reproductive health. The fat is the biggest factor, and they said fat is a precursor for the synthesis of sex hormones. This is why when cholesterol gets too low, sex drive goes down, testosterone production goes down, all other hormones.
Eat more eggs, boys and girls.
Eggs are great for you. They said fat-soluble vitamin deficiency, such as vitamin A, vitamin E, and vitamin D, can be combined with fat and food to be digested and absorbed by the body. Vitamin A is a crucial aspect as far as it's good for enormous antioxidant effects and essential for maintaining healthy immune system. It affects the intestinal health. Fat lubricates the intestinal tract for gastrointestinal mobility and bowel movement. Loss of protection of internal organs. Visceral fat accumulation is also important. So again, my friends, stay strong, stay healthy, keep good healthy fat intake. If you need anything, Team Health Masters, give us a call. I'll talk to you again on this show. Tomorrow's always at 3 o'clock.
Hey, that's all right. And remember, when you have your cholesterol go under 200, all disease rates go up.
Including cancer. We just
particularly cancer. If your cholesterol is down in the 60s or 70s, there's a pretty high probability you start having some health problems, and you're not going to be able to make produce testosterone and a lot of other hormones that you need. It's very important that you eat eggs every single day. Real eggs, not powder eggs. Real eggs with the yolk, with the white part of the egg. And cook them in real butter like I do. I have at least 3 to 4 every morning. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Remember, God loves you too, and prayer still changes things. Love you.